Ramsey TV.
I've tried to improve the sound today. Yesterday the gain was maybe a little too high. Again, I'm using this microphone that I haven't used in a couple years, but it's a beauty. It's called the Blue Yeti. Yeti, the abominable. We're living in abominable times. This is the second part of a series I'm calling The End of Times. Some people are scared about it. Some people even fear to see Christ because they're not sure of what Jesus Christ thinks of them. I mean, I could easily do another week, another 2 weeks following the theme I've been on in the book of Romans, in the book of Ephesians, talking about how to worship God in Christ and telling you what God in Christ have done for us. I'll be back to that. This is a short series. Because it's important to know what God in Christ think of you. If you're watching me for the first time, I want you to know that most of the time I talk about what God in Christ think of you. I talk about what happened at the cross that made an innocent man, in fact, the Son of God, suffer so much. Something very important happened that you will not hear in the Christian religion or in any religion. Every single religion asks you to perform for God. Like God is Simon Cowell and you're performing for him and hoping to get a good score. What you're going to hear on this channel and on others, a few others, not very many, is what God in Christ accomplished for your sake, and why you can now live a life of freedom, of joy. Not necessarily happiness, but joy. And how you can know with a certainty what will happen after this life. But now, I think it's important to remind everyone that I have not changed my disposition on the times we are living in. Jesus Christ said that no man knows the day or the hour when the Lord will return, but he didn't say anything about the month or the year, did he? There's a reason for that, because in the same context where Jesus said no one knows the day or the hour, he told his disciples to look, to discern the times, to look for signs. Now, our snatching away as members of the body of Christ is not pegged. It's not aligned to any Israelite times. It's not aligned to any feasts. Israel's calling is the return of Christ to the Mount of Olives to begin the millennium for Israel, when Israel will be the head of the nations. That is pegged to times. And God put the stars and the planets and the sun and the moon into the sky for times and seasons. What you have up there is a celestial clock that is flawless, and it keeps track of time. Why is that important? So that we on the earth can know what God is going to do when. But he doesn't tell it, obviously. He doesn't say, in 2021, watch for this leader to rise to power, because that means, no, because it'll be too obvious then. It'll be too much on the surface. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to search out a matter. And so God hides his truth in plain sight. He hides it under the surface. He uses figurative language. He puts puzzle pieces here, there, and it takes a wise person to put the puzzle pieces together and to see the picture. God tells his friends what he's doing. This is why there were people in Israel who knew when Christ was coming the first time. Well, there's a prophecy the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. That's a big clue that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, and he was. People say you can't take Scripture literally. Well, it looks like you can. Some people say, well, prophecy is not for us to figure out what's going to happen next. It's to know that God was on it after it happens. Guess not. I guess the three wise men used Micah 5:2 via Herod to find out where the Messiah was going to be born. Guess you people are wrong that say that prophecy is not for people to understand what is happening when. It's all for that. Daniel 9 the 490 years segregated for Israel to bring the kingdom. Well, Martin, it's been much more than 490 years. Yes, but God doesn't count the time when Israel is apostate. Unless you know that, that's a little nice little piece of information. Unless you know that, you won't know the times or the seasons. Simeon and Anna, who came and saw the Messiah at his dedication in Jerusalem on the eighth day, they knew that the Messiah was here. Why? Because they understood the times and the seasons. They looked at the signs. I got my little Charles here next to me helping me out. There he is. Such a cute dog. I love you, Charles. Look at that nice color on his head. He's a good little companion. I love you, Charles. Charles understands the times more than some people, because creation has a premonition about the times. And they know that when the sons of God are manifest, that marks the beginning of their liberation from the thraldom, bondage to death. The fatal conceit of socialism or communism, there's a fatal conceit sown in there that dooms it. And that is the conceited, arrogant assumption that one group of people, far removed from the people, from the other people, can decide things for those people. You see, I'm trying to put politics in the simplest terms possible. I'll give you an example. The European Union. It never works when a body of people thousands of miles away from the people they're governing to decide what is good for those people. For one thing, it is the utmost arrogance to assume that you know better than other people what's good for them. They're too stupid to run their lives. They're too stupid to govern themselves. They need a superior wisdom. And of course, you're the superior wisdom. You're the people, and wisdom dies with you. There are people in this world who contain that virus, that sickness. It's called elitism. But with the European Union, a small cabal of people in Brussels decide what's good for people in Paris. Decide what's good for people in London? How? Why? Well, because they decided that would be the case, and they took the power and they tricked the people to vote for them, to vote it in with the lie that they have your well-being in mind. They don't. They don't. People lie. This might be a revelation to some people. I don't know. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Adolf Hitler thought he knew best how to rule Germany. He wanted to groom the superior race, get rid of the undesirables. He wanted to get rid of the people who, in his inestimable wisdom, would slow the progress of the Third Reich. He wanted to get rid of the undesirables, the weak people who, if they were allowed to do their own thing, would water down those people who really only have the good of the world in mind. For some freaky reason, people continue to believe this lie. But there's a small group of people thousands of miles away who really care for you. They're going to do what you think is right. And you give them a little bit of power, and they take a lot. Ever heard the phrase, give them an inch and they'll take a mile? There is fascism, there is socialism, there is communism. People keep believing the same lie. Because the people who keep trying it, even though they can look across the specter of history, the graveyard of history, and see that communism, which is bred in the petri dish of socialism, is a disaster. It never works. But again, another fatal deceit sewn into these people is that no one else has implemented it correctly. We're going to do it right this time. And it's going to be perfect. We're going to bring in a utopia. But whenever mortal human beings attempt to bring in a utopia, It produces a dystopia. They want to bring in a perfect world. They end up destroying the world because they can't help themselves. They become maniacal for power. There's a lot of terms for it. Centralized government, central planning, statism. It's always the germ in some human hearts to do it. And it's weird that in most cases, the people have a lot of money. The people who make money their goal, the acquisition of it their goal, are the ones that want to buy this power for the people beneath them, so that, of course, it comes back to them. They're evil people. Because the love of money is the root of all evils. Not money, the love of money. Now, if the love of money is the root of all evils, what must we say, what must we conclude about people who want nothing but money? They must be evil. And they are. They are evil. And they want to rule over other people. A friend of mine has a son. And he was a normal guy until he went to an American university. And I don't know if some people in other parts of the world who are listening to me don't realize this, but in American universities are training grounds, are breeding grounds for socialists / communists. They teach people to hate America because they're tricked into thinking that if we have one centralized power structure, then it'll just make things simpler. And the stupid people won't be able to ruin it. We just can't leave the stupid people alone because they don't know what's best for them. They certainly don't know what's best for the world. We do, because we went to university. We're groomed. We're of superior intelligence. It's all a lie. It's all BS. But listen to this. That statement was especially distasteful to Charles. He has to lick his ass now to feel better. So my friend asked her son point blank, how would you describe yourself? And again, this guy used to be a nice, normal kid. But he went to university and they taught him all this Saul Alinsky rules for radicals. America needs to be brought down. Oh, by the way, why does America need to be brought down according to these people? Because if you have a centralized power, you can't have any individual state rising to a superpower status. It wrecks the whole plan. Everything must be leveled. So the goal of these statists is to break down any individual country that rises above the rest. In this case, the United States of America rises above the rest. Sorry. The first black guy elected president in the United States tried to slowly tear down the United States. Even the people who voted for him know that. They look back and they see. Tear down the United States. Why? Because he was put in power by people who deemed that necessary to break down the United States. To get the United States to cede power to them so that they can then take whole power, all power, and rule the world. Again, this is in people. People want to rule the world. This is not conspiracy. I'm not a conspiracy theorist guy. But this isn't conspiracy. This is real. This is happening. It's happened in history before. I point you to Adolf Hitler. I could point you to despots in other countries. I could point you to Mao or Pol Pot or Castro. Or that Kim freak in North Korea. But see, they're just little dictators in their own little countries. I'm talking about people who want to take that dictatorship and expand it to the entire earth. That's why I bring Hitler to your attention. There's people today that want to do that. And again, it's cleaner. I don't want to repeat everything I said yesterday, but it's easier to do that now if you control the money. But this kid, his mom asked him, so How do you describe yourself? And I can't, he gave three or four adjectives. I don't remember the first three, but I remember the fourth. This is amazing. Listen to this. He said, and she's watching this show. She's just as astounded as I am. She hates it just as much as I do. He said, I'm a something, 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 something elitist. I'm a something, 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 something elitist. He said it out loud. I'm an elitist. And he said it with a straight face. No apologies, just like he was bred in the universities to think that he is better than everybody else. And that the world could be a perfect place, and he might actually believe this because he's way down the food chain of the socialist slash communist agenda. So he might actually think that these people really want to make the world a better place. And so a better place for them, a nightmare for everybody else. That's how it works. You see, the people, the central planners, everything goes well for them when they grab power from the people. When the people give up their power because of promises made to them. Well, if you do this, we'll protect you from this. If you do this, we'll make life wonderful for you. It's all a lie, but people who buy into it, as soon as they give away their power, they're subject. Now they're weak. Now they can be trod upon, and now it inevitably happens. So this kid said he was an elitist. This goes back to the primal chief conceit of socialism, which is we are able to govern the whole earth. We at this central location, in Babylon, in Brussels, wherever you like, we're able to rule people thousands of miles away. We know what's in their best interest. The human government, ideally, never works that way. Human government is best when it is decentralized and when local governments run local places. This tribe runs this, this tribe runs that. And what business does a tribe 5,000 miles away have telling this tribe what to do because they know their customs, they know their people? That's the way things thrive. It's called independence. It's called freedom. It's called free enterprise. What is enterprise? It's when you're busy doing stuff that helps you take care of yourself and your family. Free enterprise is being left alone to do stuff that brings happiness to hearth and home, to your family. That's free enterprise. Socialism is when that free enterprise is taken away because it's thought to be greedy. It's thought to be greedy when people want to engage in enterprise in order to make money, in order to take care of themselves and their families. That's deemed to be greedy, especially if these people are successful. And if they're successful, then they get lots of money. And then that is deemed to be selfish. And then the people who have taken power from these lower people, they think it's their responsibility then to take that wealth of the people who produce and to give it, to even it out, to distribute it evenly among all peoples, which there's many evils that go along with that. Taking away the motivation of the people that make the money to work and taking away the motivation of the people who get money for free. But anyway, I talked about that before. I'm bringing all this up because this is what is happening now on a large scale. People still believe the lie that other people know better than them. I was born and raised in Ohio, what they call flyover country. You know what flyover country is? Flyover country is any part of the United States between New York and Los Angeles, or Washington, D.C., and San Francisco, or Boston, well, not so much Boston, yeah, Boston and Seattle. For some reason, the elitists, the people who think they're better than everybody else, for one thing, that kid, I'm sorry, are you kidding me? You're better than everybody else. I'm an elitist. Well, I hope that works out for you in the future, Nebuchadnezzar. Big breaking coming for those kinds of people. Apart from a revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you find out all have sinned and are falling short of the glory of God. Ooh, uh-oh. Look at Nebuchadnezzar. But it was prophesied to Nebuchadnezzar exactly what would happen to him if he kept going. But what did he do? He kept going. The prophecy concerning him was made a year. The prophecy by Daniel was made a year before the crash and burn happened for old Nebi, he eventually found out God wasn't kidding. Well, God isn't kidding, you elitists. But for some reason, in the United States, the elitists are gathered on the coasts in big cities. Why is that? I don't know. Birds of a feather flock together. I don't know. I think they think because big cities, they get an arrogance or something when they're associated with big cities. I used to fall for this trap. Whenever I traveled to L.A., I made it a point, well, I was in L.A. So what? L.A. just sounds like the glamour capital of the world. Or I was in New York. Oh, the financial capital of the world. All the smart people are in New York. All the clever people are in Los Angeles. And in between are the rabble. Or what? I hate to say certain names because I don't want to be flagged. Well, there's a person who ran against the orange guy in 2016 who called the people in the middle of the country the deplorables. That's the attitude they have. And that is what is going to build the beast. That is now building the beast. But never before has it been more seamless, more clean, to be able to rule the entire world. You see, the arrogance is the same. The elitism is the same, starting with Nebuchadnezzar. Well, probably not starting with him, going back to Nimrod, the Tower of Babel. Nebuchadnezzar, right down to this lady's son. It's the same arrogance. It's the same conceit. We're better than you. We know more than you. You're stupid. You're a hick. You're a rube. You're a hayseed. And you just sit back. We'll tell you what you need to do. But how can a group of people like that convince other people to give them the power to do that? Why would anybody give up their free enterprise, get their freedom to move, to live, to make decisions in their own lives? Why would anybody give up that power to a larger body of people thousands of miles away? Because they believe the lie. They believe the lie that these people have their best interests in mind. And the people who lust for this kind of power know, they know an opportunity when they see it. And if they see a global, quote, crisis, unquote, or if they can invent a global crisis, then they can play on the emotions of people. Well, you don't want the earth to burn up, do you? And kill all the little animals? Kill all the baby polar bears? Well, no, we don't want that. Well, we have the studies, we have the wisdom to fix this problem, but you need to trust us and give us power. Because you see, global problems call for global solutions. So any body of people who wants a global government, all they need to do is capitalize on a global crisis. And if there are no global crises around, they will invent them. They will invent them.